News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton at the Talk 106.5, 6 minutes after 8 o'clock, traffic updates.
Yeah, and thank you, Cheese, and I know Kane had several of these, but the I-65 accidents, both northbound and southbound, kind of near the same area. The northbound accident between Government and Airport, the southbound wreck at the Cottage Hill overpass, and it's not the only traffic incident we've had this morning. It's kind of been an all morning thing to this point, and Mobile Traffic on Facebook says delays US 90 near Plantation Road, and it looks like this may potentially be a fatal accident, according to the comments a lot of people are leaving there. And someone said, let's see, Highway 90 closed at Plantation Road going south. So that's also another big hang up this morning, as Mobile police on the scene securing that scene on 90 closed at Plantation going south. So be safe out there. It's wet, and storms may or may not be passing through. Like Dr. Bill said, kind of hit and miss, but it's going to be hit and miss not just today, but all weekend long with storms rolling through.
Yeah, and you would really think the worst traffic activity would be in Baldwin County. They're the ones actually getting the rain after earlier this morning. We both coastlines got it, Mobile and Baldwin County. But for a large part of the morning, the rain's been in Baldwin County, and yet we have these persistent accidents here in Mobile. So let's just slow down. Consider that there may be an accident ahead of you, and give the other guy a lot of room, and let's make it a safer morning from this point on.
Yeah, how about that? Well said. I think I said it earlier. It is Friday, right? Today's Friday.
It is Friday.
What a week it's been, and you all know it. We know it, and we've been following everything as closely as possible. I think I said last week, Dan, Friday or Thursday, so before what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania. I said, get ready. Next week is going to be a busy week. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what was about to happen. I said, you know, will Biden drop out? Things were looking kind of like maybe 50-50 mm-hmm. last week. I said, you have the Republican National Convention, the naming of a vice president, which just happened 4 days ago. It seems like that was weeks ago at this yep. point. And then the SEC Media Days, which I know to most of the nation, that's a lot lesser of importance, but it's big for a lot of folks around here. So I knew it would be a busy week. And then Saturday in Butler, Pennsylvania, you have the attempt on President Trump's life. You have the man, Corey Comparator, who died shielding his family. Two other gentlemen who were seriously, seriously injured when they were shot by that attempted assassin. And then this week has just been crazy from Monday on. And just kind of an overview of things. You had all these different speeches. Vance, nominated as vice president, mm-hmm. gave a great speech on Wednesday night. Yesterday, it turned into much more of a party at the Republican National Convention. And you look at the two sides of the political aisle, you have one side who's not known for partying at conventions. Mm-hmm. I think someone said last night, it was just, 12 years ago that you had Clint Eastwood on the stage arguing with a chair, yeah. which I thought was a great moment at the yeah. time. But fast forward, and who would have ever guessed you'd have Hulk Hogan ripping off his shirt to unveil a Trump Vance. We wouldn't have known who Vance was, 12 years ago. I don't know when Hillbilly Elegy came out, maybe around 2015, 2016. And then Kid Rock performing before Trump comes out to the stage, who's introduced by Dana White. What a reality this has become. And it's not the same Republican Party of old. Look at the other side of the political aisle, and you have them forcing Biden off the ticket with now pretty much every notable national Democratic leader, including, I think, the top two that people look to for answers in that party, and that's Barack Obama, the former president, and Nancy Pelosi, the former House Speaker. I said it earlier, name one person who is encouraging Biden to stand in that is notorious at all in Democratic circles. I can't think of anyone.
Yeah, I mean, that was a really well-stated point. That was in the 6 o'clock hour. You said, hey, look, who are the ones on his side? Well, there used to be a number of them, but mm-hmm. now they're kind of dwindling or just being quiet, right?
Yeah.
If you're saying anything at all, it's pretty much he probably needs to go. We'll have a story later on this hour about the money. You think about that. They always say follow the money. Well, follow the donor money, and that would indicate that he's toast. It was interesting as well, as we've been following this, you know, we've been following it just like you, maybe even a little more intently since we got to deliver the news every day. It was this Tuesday of this week, Monday or Tuesday, it's kind of like the story was, things have quelled down.
Mm-hmm.
The assassination attempt quelled everything down.
Yeah.
He's had a few decent days, and that's kind of in the past. Well, it could not be any further from in the past. Fast forward to just yesterday.
Yeah.
So like in 2 days, and in that time, he had a horrible interview, or at least spells of interview. Parts of that interview with BET went very wrong.
Yeah, don't forget the Lester Holt interview Monday
Lester
night
Holt,
that aired. He was incredibly confrontational.
Yep,
right.
That's exactly right. And then, of course, suddenly he has COVID, and he's got to pull out of an appointment Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon and fly back to Delaware. Kamala takes the stage in
North Carolina
to a boisterous crowd, it sounded like. And so she's now in the limelight. It would be very interesting to listen to all of that speech. I've got the clips from it, but the entirety of that speech, how many times did she mention Joe Biden? I don't know.
Yeah.
Not in the times that the clips that I heard had nothing to do with Joe Biden. This thing is flipping quick.
Yeah.
And as I would be, you know, hesitant to put my weight all the way on one side or the other at this point, because it's kind of gone back and forth in terms of the momentum of Biden in or Biden out. But at this point, it feels like not if but when.
Yeah, and the betting market indicates the exact same thing. Mm. And it's very heavily skewed towards Biden not being the nominee. And then when you look at who the likely nominee is, Kamala is the favorite. But reports yesterday were that Biden's going to step out, and then there will be an open convention, an open nomination period. So they're not going to just pass the torch on to Kamala Harris. They said Biden will not endorse Kamala Harris. All these reports coming out as if they're fact. And then you talk to sources close to Biden, and they're like, well, what the hell are you talking about, Jack? We haven't left the race. We're staying in the race.
Yeah.
And so you have, and it's funny, I saw someone commenting online last night, the Democrats having to deal with all these different media leaks and sources, and it's almost like they're finally cast in the same world that so many Republicans have been with these just fake news, I'll say it. A lot of people trying to get their narrative in and what they want to see happen, and so you have all these different stories flying around at the same time. Meanwhile, through all of this, Biden is probably snoozing on a couch there in Delaware, quote-unquote, recovering from his busy schedule,
and
recovering
COVID.
From COVID. Yeah.
It's very interesting. And I that might have been a Wall Street Journal story about the donors, but that seems pretty damning that at this point the whispers have become shouts, and the number of people have become almost, you can't even count them all up now, who are saying it's time for him to go. And the gravitas of these people is, like you say, Obama, Pelosi, pretty enormous.
It was almost like this week, the last 2 weeks, like a video game where you move up in difficulty each level.
Mm-hmm.
So Obama sent out, you know, first you get just the House members who are in tough races. I think he probably needs to look at stepping out. Then you get a senator or two chiming in.
Yep.
Maybe he's not the man for the ticket. Then Obama sends George Clooney out there to write an op-ed in the New York Times. He said, this is not the same Biden of old. I saw it 3 weeks ago at our rally, our campaign fundraiser in L.A.
And they wrote a lot of checks out there.
They do. And so Biden still stuck through it. Then you have Schumer, Pelosi, Raskin, Schiff, all jumping in. And then finally, I think the death blow yesterday, the news coming out that Obama himself is actually pushing for it, which we all kind of thought would be the case once you saw a lot of the team Obama coming out and saying the same thing. Who do you think will be the nominee? Will it be Kamala? How can they pass over Kamala and retain a lot of the voters who, I mean, she was put on that ticket for a reason.
She'd be next in line.
Yes, and they're saying maybe an open convention. You're looking at possibly...
You're talking about when they get to the convention in Chicago?
I don't know exactly how that would work, but I believe they would have the delegates choose.
Huh.
I'm not 100% sure. I've been trying to cover a lot of different things, but
that's a lot of time in between, because that's in mid-August. So you're throwing away all that time you know, to as far as the voters and the understanding of who the, you know, November's going to get here quicker than you think. So it's probably better sooner than later.
So if Biden does step out this weekend or whenever, they do a month of campaigning, like, and you're off.
You have a month where you're not really campaigning because you don't have the ticket solidified. Mm-hmm. That would be.
But I mean, everyone who's looking for that nomination, they get a month to prove their case heading into the convention.
Yeah, it's a beauty contest in between, is what you say.
Yeah. If it becomes a quick primary, you know, and while Kamala is a big name, of course, you have the California Governor Newsom. Whitmer had been mentioned, and then some newer names like the Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. Could he be somebody that's in the mix? You mentioned Cooper from North Carolina. There's a lot that can change here over this next month.
Mega donor is a word we're hearing more and more suddenly. And one Democratic mega donor who is close to Chuck Schumer has spoken with people close to the Senate Majority Leader in recent days. He said, I think it's going to end very shortly. The pressure is insurmountable, said one Democrat in Washington, predicting that Biden would be out by Monday. Other people close to the party leadership said it could happen earlier. Biden's gotten the message that there's not another dollar of fundraising. Money's not going to come in. Members of Congress are getting more aggressive, and he's just not going to be able to withstand it, said one mega donor.
And Gardner brings up a point that it's been mentioned quite a bit. He says Kamala is supposed to be the only one that can use the money Biden raised. So, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars have been raised. I think last I saw somewhere around $250 million. But these are different types of PACs and kind of corners where this money is going. I believe one of those PACs is specific to the Biden-Harris campaign, and that's right around $90 million, if I'm remembering my facts correctly. Mm-hmm. And so I think that $90 million, that's the case, that money would have to stay within the Biden-Harris ticket. But I think a lot of the other money that makes up a bulk of the money they've raised can be moved from candidate to candidate. And, you know, you listen to the sources say, and I'm not sure the Democrats are too concerned with being able to move money around to the candidate of their choosing.
Yeah.
Maybe a little overblown on the money has to stay with that ticket.
Here's Kamala Harris, by the way, yesterday. Does she sound like somebody who's not in the race?
Are you ready to make your voices heard? Do we believe in freedom? Do we believe in opportunity? Do we believe in the promise of America?
Now, they edited that, so we didn't hear the big yes after that. I would assume they said it, but that sounds like somebody who's kind of revving things up.
Yeah, she sure does. We'll see if she's the answer for the Democrats. Meanwhile, we already know the answer for the Republicans, and that's former President Donald Trump, who officially accepted the nomination last night. Raucous crowd at the RNC. They didn't really know how to act with Kid Rock on the stage, but I'll give them a pass for that. It wasn't Rock the Country in Mobile out there. But we'll play some of that. A lot of really, really incredible audio from the Donald Trump speech last night, and we'll get around to a lot of it.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It has been a problem, several problems on the roads this morning.
Yeah, and more detail on one of these accidents. Thank you, Cheese. Continues to do great work. And text us. That crash on the northbound side of 65 near Government, Cheese says, is involving an 18-wheeler. There's a car stuck under that 18-wheeler. Mm. So all lanes are shut down. Northbound 65, so that all lanes, maybe on both sides, shut down so that emergency units can bring in a large wrecker to lift the truck and get the driver out of the car. Also, gosh. Michael texting, I just watched an ambulance go southbound in the I-65 northbound lanes. I-65 north is totally blocked near the I-10 junction. Heck of a morning already this morning.
Right outside our window.
Well, basically, this one is over at just north of the I-10 65 junction, so near Government. And then, yeah, you're right. There's a couple more out here by us.
By the way, if you get an unsolicited text like I did yesterday, I think it was, notifying you about a package delivery issue that needs attention, it's likely not coming from the United States Postal Service. According to a recent phishing report from software company Guardio, The Postal Service was one of the most imitated brands in phishing scams during the second quarter. I got that text from USPS, but it wasn't from USPS.
Yeah, I've been getting debt collector texts, and I'm like, oh, no.
How about, are you getting a lot of phone calls that are like...
A ton of phone calls, yeah, and then fake Amazon texts, check here for your delivery. It's like, nah, this is not real.
Yep.
Be careful out there, and a big failure internationally with this CrowdStrike platform kind of failing. They're saying it's not a cyber attack, but that has really slowed down airports and banks and things all over the country this morning and all over the world. Trump last night, it was a party, and then he got on stage and really almost spoke in a whisper for the first 25 minutes, had the crowd in his hand as he recounted what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania on Saturday.
When I heard a loud whizzing sound and felt something hit me really, really hard on my right ear, I said to myself, wow, what was that? It can only be a bullet. And moved my right hand to my ear, brought it down. My hand was covered with blood, just absolutely blood all over the place. I immediately knew it was very serious, that we were under attack, and in one movement proceeded to drop to the ground. Bullets were continuing to fly as very brave Secret Service agents rushed to the stage, and they really did. They rushed to the stage.
You know, after this, he brought up a point, the president did, that when he got up and he saw the crowd looking and seeing, they thought he may be dead. They didn't know what happened, but they were all still standing there. And the point he brought up was there could have been many more injuries and deaths if there had been a stampede out of the rally. That's just something that completely escaped me this week as we talk about all of these different things that happened, the failures that led to the shooting, the unbelievable way that he responded after getting up. And
The crowd was devoted to him.
Yeah.
And in a way, they showed courage themselves.
This was another great part of kind of right after that when he was speaking about what happened on Saturday. The crowd starts chanting for him here.
Come out. I'm not supposed to be here tonight. Not supposed to be here. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yeah. Thank you. But I'm not. And I'll tell you, I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God.
Another very moving moment during the speech last night before he turned to more of a traditional Trump campaign kind of speech. He talked about the fallen firefighter who attended that rally, the father, the husband who died trying to protect his family when he was hit from that assassin's bullet. Corey Comparator, the firehouse that he worked at in Buffalo Township, gave his jacket, his helmet, and they rolled it up there on the stage.
There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for others. This is the spirit that forged America in her darkest hours, and this is the love that will lead America back to the summit of human achievement and greatness. This is what we need.
And there were so many moving moments, especially in that first 30 minutes. He spoke for a very long time.
An hour and a half, I believe.
Yeah, he now has the three longest nomination acceptance speeches ever, all three. And last night was the longest. I think a major part of it, while a lot of the Never Trumpers or people that were kind of just ready to go to bed, a lot of them said, all right, we can wrap this thing up now. I think he was trying to show, but hey, Biden's probably asleep right now. I'm up. I'm talking. It's 10:30 and I'm still going strong. Yeah. I think that was part of it.
And if you watched last night or the whole convention, did you see the same things that those that work at MSNBC saw? I don't think so. Those examples are on the way. News right now.
735, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on a Friday. We'll be coming to the text line, 251-343-0106. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive, where we talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're great. We are fantastic. And another wet weekend on the way here in Mobile and Baldwin counties and really a lot of the Gulf Coast. Remind folks, we'll get to the vehicles you're selling here in a minute, but the body shop, service department, McConnell Automotive, you guys do a great job there.
That's right. The body shop back there, we take care of all your insurance needs, and they'll try to set you up with a rental car if you have that unfortunate accident. And if it gets totaled, don't forget, man, we got a great selection. You come out here and look at it. We're going to be here all day today and all day tomorrow. I want to wish everybody be careful out there on the seas if they're doing the rodeo. We might go fishing a little bit on Sunday, just depending on what this weather does. But like I said, everybody be careful out there. And if you have that unfortunate accident, come see us. Because like I said, we got a great selection of pre-owned and new vehicles. Got some low interest rate on those new vehicles sitting over there. And it might like that stuff. So come on by and see us.
And of course, you'll trade just as everyone expects. But you also just buy the car. So if someone, they don't want to do the Facebook Marketplace thing, you know, it takes a lot of time and effort. All they have to do is give you guys a call. And they need, the VIN number? What else do they need?
That's right. Call 251-476-4141. Ask for Eddie Hicks or Gene Stuckey. And all you need is the VIN, the miles, a little description, and they'll help you out right over the telephone.
It's that easy. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Most of you probably watching the Republican National Convention, more than likely on Fox.
Yeah,
maybe Newsmax. Were they doing it too?
I'm sure. I think everyone was. Earlier this week, I think night one, I just had it on Fox News. Then I figured out
Fox News.
Well, right. Fox Business was just running it straight through without extra commentary from. I mean, towards the later parts of the night, they put Brett Baer and the team on. But for the most part, they showed every speech on Fox Business. That's really there were a lot of people I was really interested in hearing from this week, including last night. Tucker Carlson, of course. Hulk Hogan had a unbelievable time up there. Again, 2024. What a crazy, crazy year. But, there were a lot of people I was interested in seeing. This wasn't your daddy's Republican National Convention, I'll say
no,
that much.
And how about MSNBC wasn't actually there?
Right. Jake Tapper.
He called him out, right?
Called him out last night. It was kind of... he didn't mention the name, but he said, hey, we are here in person at this convention.
So if you're a Democrat, you vote Democrat generally, you see the world in that through that lens, that's fine. And we hope you're listening to us right now and appreciate that you are. So you probably were watching it curiously either on CNN or MSNBC.
Yeah, so and Tapper goes, he alluded to MSNBC. He said another network is not here in person. They're in front of a green screen back in their studio and kind of indicating they're not getting the vibes here. It's hard to cover something when you're not actually there. So a little crossfire between CNN and MSNBC.
Interesting. Okay, and so also maybe that was what gave them the courage to say some of the dumb things they said. Because
like?
they're in their studio. They're not even there. They're not going to be confronted by anybody that's there. So they just had like a frat party, you know, laughing at and taking their jabs.
It's probably more like a cheese and wine party than a frat party, but yes.
Yep. All right, Alex Wagner used to be on CBS. And she said J.D. Vance dropped Easter eggs of white nationalism during his speech by saying that he wanted to be buried in his family's plot in Kentucky.
That's...
How in the world is that... She says, I just think the construction of this notion reveals a lot about someone who fundamentally believes in the supremacy of whiteness and masculinity. And it's couched in a sort of revisitation of his roots, but it's not his revisitation of his roots. You see, it's actually really revealing about what he thinks matters and who America is, and that America is a place for people with his shared Western background.
So because
what a bunch of garbage.
Because J.D. Vance said that when he dies, he wants to be returned to be buried next to the generations of his family.
Yeah,
she said. And so other races of people, other Americans that aren't the same color as J.D. Vance or have the same political leanings as J.D. Vance, they don't want to be, she's saying they don't want to be buried next to their families.
Maybe she's implying that even just being buried in a cemetery with only whites only, I don't know.
This is the same Joy Reid who compared...
No, this is Alex Wagner.
Oh, Alex Wagner,
I'll get
okay.
to Joy Reid.
Gotcha.
She's on the way. So Alex Wagner said that. Here's the thing. I mean, that is so just reaching. That's his personal story. He's talking about, did you read the freaking book, Alex Wagner? He's talking that, by the way, if you haven't, 1.6 million have, and now it's selling like hotcakes all over again now. Mm-hmm. I mean, just absolutely, just garbage. Joy Reid, she questioned whether Trump was actually shot.
Yeah, that's kind of I think I read a third of Democrats think that that's a hoax, that he didn't really get grazed on the ear or hit through the ear.
And then she was equating Biden recovering from COVID would be the same thing as Trump recovering from nearly being assassinated.
That was her coup de grace this week, was that comparison, I think.
Yeah, these two men are both elderly. Donald Trump is an elderly man who, for whatever reason, listen to this, was given 9 seconds to take an iconic photo op during an active shooter situation. So she sees conspiracy even in what we see as Secret Service having a hard time executing their job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when he got up finally after that clump when they were on top of him, and he's saying, yelling, get my shoes and whatever, you know, all that's going on. For him to stand up, he said last night that he knew the crowd was still there and he could look around and see that they thought he was dead. Mm-hmm. So he just wanted to reassure them, I'm not dead.
Yeah.
As she's looking at that, it's like, some conspiracy in that as well. I mean,
like it was all a planned photo op.
I guess. It's amazing. Rachel Maddow took issue with Vance's love for Lord of the Rings. Listen to this. It seemed to connect to a series to the far right. She made this connection. She said, like his mentor, Peter Thiel, who had given him all his jobs in the world, she says, Mr. Vance.
That was the same thing Quinn said, by the way, the other day. Like, Peter Thiel made this man.
Yeah.
Not that he wrote a New York Times bestselling book. And anyway, he ran and won that seat in Ohio. But yes, that's the theme. Peter Thiel is the puppet master here.
So he named his venture capital firm Naria.
Okay.
Or Naria. Is that someone from Lord of the Rings?
I don't know. I'm not sure, actually. I'm not a big enough Lord of the Rings fan. I've watched it. But.
So named it after a lord of Lord of the Rings. Okay, so yeah, he called it Nayrya, which you can remember, she says, Maddow says, because it's Aryan, but you move the N to the front, and now she's moving letters around to spell what she wants to spell. And if there was a word stupid, I don't know that there is, and you put the letter S in front of it, it would be stupid.
Yeah.
And this is so stupid, it just kind of goes on and on. Examples of this are astounding. I'm sure it's done on the right. I'm sure it is.
It's definitely done on the right.
Send me examples. That's fine. On our text line. But man, all in one cluster in a couple of days. All of this. They could not have been seated at the
RNC.
No way. Mm-hmm. They couldn't have been there because they would have been unhinged.
There was a moment yesterday where I think it was CNN had somebody in the crowd. I know Caitlin Collins, they had milling about and interviewing attendees, but one of them, during the prayer from Graham, delivering the prayer before mm-hmm. Trump got up there on the stage, they sent it out for a crowd interview during the prayer, and the people around him were like, dude, shut up.
Yeah.
We're praying.
Yeah.
Quit talking.
Right.
And it was very awkward moment for the reporter that they had out there on the scene. They said, oh, it's tough out there. We're going to go back to you later.
Wow. So, hey, kudos to CNN for being there. Mm-hmm. They were there.
They were actually, surprisingly, I said it after the J.D. Vance speech, and I don't think they're crossing the aisle or anything. Maybe are they trying to cozy up now that the future looks like it's very possible that Trump is the president once again?
And are they trying to be fair? I know that in that echo chamber, in either echo chamber, it's really hard to be fair. I get it, but that'd be nice for the CNN that we once knew.
Yeah,
so the CNN of Larry King.
So they were surprised at the Vance speech Wednesday night, pleasantly surprised. Last night, even before Hulk Hogan got up there and Kid Rock, and then of course Donald Trump. Van Jones, who's had a lot to say this week, of course, but he compared this, when they let him talk, he compared this RNC to the 2008 Obama Democrat convention.
In terms of the energy now?
In terms of the energy. Here's a part of that from CNN last night.
So that's why people are so mad about it.
We are like minutes away, minutes away from Hulk Hogan, yes. Dana White, and Donald J.
All right, Trump. So who do they want to run against? Let's talk about that.
I want to say something. This spirit that this guy has, you guys think this because he's drunk? He's not. This whole thing is like this. And guys, the last time I was in a convention that felt like this was Obama 2008. There's something happening
where... You just wrote a headline, by the way.
What's that?
You just wrote a headline, but
it's just like Obama.
Yeah, when they let Van Jones talk.
He was talking about the drunk part. I guess there's a Republican on stage with him. One Republican.
On the round table. Yeah, Reynolds, I think.
A conservative guy. And then they were joking that he was excited because he was drunk. And he was like saying... He's not drunk. He's feeling the energy and feeling it, that's the way this whole place feels.
Yeah, it was something else. And I don't know who was behind that. Laura Trump, I don't know if she, you know, early on, the first couple nights of the RNC, there were moments where I was like, what are you doing? I don't really understand exactly where you're going with some of these things. But last night was all about the party. Text line, and I don't mean about the Republican Party. It's about partying, having a good time. Scott said, if you move a letter or two in Maddow's name, you get Mad Cow. John says, Joy Reid, you mean Blondie? Texter here. I see where you're going, Dalton. In front of them, that would be the direction I would take it to. I don't know if you're talking about CNN there. Let's see. It was a very emotional night. This is what Keith has to say. Keith from Agricola. It was a very emotional night. CNN will never be nice. Knife in their other hand. Let's see. Gardner says, Kamala. Yeah, we read that earlier. Kamala's supposed to be the only one that can use the money that Biden raised. I'm not 100% sure that's the case. Damn Yankee says, if Biden really has COVID, then I'm Hulk Hogan. Todd from Grand Bay, do we really even know if he has COVID? Another texter. Did you notice Biden didn't wear a mask until he got into the limo by himself, and then he put the mask on? How ridiculous. More than half the country want Biden to stay in the race, and they are called Republicans. I mean, that is the easiest path to victory would be if Biden stays in the race.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the Bluenon you were talking about earlier, a lot of the Democrats who think that whole thing was staged, that it was a hoax. So you have Bluenon on the left, you have QAnon on the right. There's a lot more Bluenon out there that people give credit for that think that there's a lot more conspiracies than maybe there actually are. But the people who are making fun of Trump for having the thing over his ear the year that he got shot in, and maybe, I don't know if they're milking it. I don't really care. He got shot in the ear on Saturday. But they're acting like that whole thing is fake. Or that he's being a pansy. A lot of people said he's kind of... I was looking online at a lot of the no-name people that were commenting, so it really doesn't matter. I shouldn't even be looking at what they have to say, but I'm interested, you know? And they're saying that he's milking this assassination attempt and that it's all overblown. And I just couldn't help but think, and you referenced Biden with the mask and not wearing the mask when he should have, how many of these people were peeing their pants... not even during COVID, 2 years after COVID, peeing their pants when they'd see somebody without a mask on outside, or calling for people to be fired for not getting vaccinated. So many of these people were such hypochondriacs during these 3 or 4 years, can't take any kind of adversity in their lives without curling up into a ball and crying in the corner of their room. And they're saying Donald Trump is milking it.
Yeah.
Just step back and look at that. On its face, it's ridiculous.
Well, yeah. I mean, you talk about adversity. He's been nothing but facing adversity. He brought some of it on himself because of his rhetoric. But, man, once the gates were wide open and unleashed, this guy's taken more. And now to be shot at on stage and survive that, and you could hear a bit of a different person in his voice, but how could he not be?
Cameron Smith, when he was on with Sean on Midday this week, as he is every week, and he's not the biggest fan of Donald Trump, to say the least. Mm-hmm. He's had a lot of criticism of Trump, and I don't know if it's a full-throated endorsement, but he said that seeing Trump, after being shot, stand up like that, and the character he showed, the strength he showed to Cameron, and I think this is the case for a lot of people who were either still on the fence about Trump or siding with not voting for him. Does he do that if he's not really in it for the right reasons? Mm-hmm. Does he stand up like that and say fight if he's not in it for the right reasons? I think a lot of people saw that and said, you know what? Maybe he, it's taken this long. Maybe he is actually trying to do this to make America great again.
I would say that that is a fair point, because it sounds like Cameron's one of those people who really needed to be convinced that Trump was truly, his motivations were what he claims they were.
Right.
In a moment like that, what tells you more? And as far as crawling up into a ball and crying yourself to sleep, in life, that doesn't work. 851 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. What's going on? Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings.
Yeah. Well, Aldine here, he was there last night also, sitting next to the president. Texter here says, Dalton hit the nail on the head. Never been a big Trump fan, but he'll be getting my vote in November. The show of strength is undeniable, period. Another texter, the six PBS analysts. Oh, that's, you went PBS with it. That didn't even cross my mind. I went CNN and MSNBC. I should have gone PBS. The six PBS analysts were very critical of all the Trump speakers and constantly talked of Trump's, they said, narcissistic speech last night. No empathy at all for the attempt on his life. John says what Joy Reid says is Alex Jones material. So thanks for the text this morning, 251-343-0106. There have been a lot of high-profile folks who've passed away over the last week. I mean, starting over the weekend with Richard Simmons, Dr. Ruth on a little bit of a lesser level, Shannon Doherty, and then yesterday the news that Lou Dobbs had passed away at 78, and Bob Newhart, who made it to, what, 94, I think? Bob Newhart's age?
I think 94.
Yeah, 94. And I feel bad because I know he had such a career. Obviously, he's 94. He had a very, very long career. First comedy album in 1960. But I know Bob Newhart for Elf. Mm-hmm. That's what I know him from.
And he's so the stammering, humble guy in Elf, that was his character. That was always his character. It started out with his comedy album back in 1960 was a huge hit. And I think a lot of the comedy on that album was one side of a phone conversation. Hmm. He would be talking on the phone. You never heard the other voice. And the comedy was just very rich in that way. It was very subtle. And the jokes weren't all like knee slappers, and yet his performance was always great and well appreciated.
Was it kind of like the humor from The Office in a way? He was like an early version of look at how crazy this is. Just kind of dry humor.
Very dry, yeah. Very dry. That was pretty much it. Sometimes the punchline would happen before it got back to him, and then it was his reaction to the situation,
right,
or to the funny line became even funnier.
Yeah.
That's a very, very unique brand of comedy.
So the Bob Newhart Show, 1972 to 1978, and then Newhart from 82 to 90. Were these like scripted shows?
Yeah.
Okay. They weren't like an SNL kind of thing.
No, they were sitcoms. They were written.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he played in that same character. I think he was a dentist in one of them, and he was was he a dentist? Maybe he was a shrink. I forget. But anyway, based out of Chicago, he was consistently very funny.
In 2002, they gave him the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. Born September 5th, 1929, in Oak Park, Illinois.
Yeah.
Talk about someone who lived a life.
He lived a life.
Bob Newhart, wow.
And he made a lot, he entertained a lot of people.
Yeah, also, of course, rest in peace to Lou Dobbs, and the best to his family and friends as well. Another tough loss yesterday. Coming up next, the Jeff Poor Show. Todd Stacey joins him right after the top of the hour. Congressman Jerry Carl also in that first hour, and then in hour number three, State Senator Chris Elliott. Jeff Poor Show at noon. Sean live from Dolphin Island in the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Stay tuned.